When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea,
sing it out,
billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well,
come on,
with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul, my sin, oh, the blame of his glorious thought, my sin not impart, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Come on.
It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
And Lord, haste the day. You know, it only gets better, doesn't it? Sing with me, ready?
And Lord, haste thy day when thy face shall be sight. Me roll back as a scroll, thy trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well.
Watch me.
It is well with my soul.
Amen. Let's stand and turn to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 this morning. Jonah chapter 1. And we're going to pick up in verse, let's back up and let's look at verse 10, and our text will actually begin in verse 11. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, and so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleaseth thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Father, I pray tonight for your hand of guidance in this service. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be reminded that you are the one that has orchestrated this meeting and has put it in the hearts of people and parents and teenagers, and you have allowed this to happen tonight. And Lord, that you've not only allowed this meeting to happen tonight, but you have been orchestrating in hearts and lives for weeks and months and even years to bring us to this point. And I pray tonight that you would have complete control over this service. And Lord, I'm not asking for you to just take control over this service, but God, I'm asking you to take control over the hearts and over our thoughts and over our mind. And Lord, the thoughts that would enter into our heart and into our mind, I pray that it would be from you, and I pray that you would orchestrate that. I ask, oh God, would you guide my lips? Because I am not capable to do what you've called me to do. So, Lord, you are the one that must reign in this hour and in this service. And we ask for your hand of grace, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A couple of years ago, I was at a youth conference, and they had set up this outside event, somewhat of what was today, but not near of what was today. I'll be honest with you, that was quite an obstacle course. Am I right on that?
Yes.
I mean, kudos to the guy that built, designed, and has that type of brain to come up with torture tactics for teens. It's really what that event should be called. Not an obstacle course, torture tactics for teens, you know. You can die in 1 minute and 15 seconds, and some of you probably felt that way. But I was watching, and this event that they had was a bunch of different blow-ups. And one of the event was where you got into kind of a harness with your friends, and you were to race with them, but the race was to see, it was kind of a bungee that was attached to you, and it was kind of a blow-up, so everything was kind of rubberized or plastic, and so they would blow a whistle, and then you would run, and then there was different markers to see how far you could go. The problem was is that now, as you're going forward, you've got this bungee on you that is resisting your forward movement, and then it's so funny. I mean, it's the funniest thing, because you only go so far, and a bungee cord is always going to be a bungee cord. I don't care how much you weigh, I don't care how fast you are, I don't care how big you are, a bungee cord is always going to act like a bungee cord. And you would see these guys, and they'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna, because nobody could touch the end. And so they would line up, and they would blow the whistle, and they would start off with their partner. And here's the thing about this, I'm going to call it an obstacle course just because I need a name for it. The first 10 feet, there was no resistance, so there was no problem. You could run as fast and as hard as you wanted to the first 10 feet, but then all of a sudden, that bungee's going like this, and then they would just about reach it, and then it'd be like, boing, and it'd throw them back. Funniest thing to watch these guys. I mean, they get almost like, yeah, I got it, you know, and then they're going all the way back and slamming, and everybody's laughing at them. And it's like, have you ever just seen somebody and it's like, no matter how many times they did it, they thought they could do it? Like, I'm going to do it again. Okay. I'm going to touch it. Well, you've already tried 18 times, and each time you get same results. Keep trying it, but the same results, because a bungee cord is a bungee cord, and a bungee cord is going to act like a bungee cord, and no matter how much effort you put into this, the snap's going to happen, and you're going to get ripped back. No matter what you say in your head, I'm going to touch it, I'm going to make it, I'm going to cross a line, the law of the bungee cord wins every single time. And I mean, they would just line up the kids. All right, next. No, I'm going to do it. Boing, you know, just same results. When we come to this passage, I want to review just for a moment of where we're at in Jonah's journey. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. What a good God. I want to just say this. By the end of this week, man, I'm just amazed at the grace of God. Because, you know, God knew all four chapters of the book of Jonah. There's not a single verse that caught God by surprise. And yet, he still came to Jonah in verse 1, knowing he was going to run to Tarshish. In the first part of the chapter, Jonah here responds and he chooses his way. And you'll remember this, that intentionally his way was not going to line up with God's word. Is that true, yes or no? And so here we are the first night, and we're talking about Jonah. I know where you want me to go, but I'm going in this direction, and here's my goal. My goal is to flee from the presence of the Lord. Remember that illustration? Yeah. If I can't see you, if I can physically get out of the presence of God, then God will stop dealing with me spiritually. And we have but Jonah in verse 3, and in verse 4 we have but the Lord. And then we talked about this morning how Jonah chooses this direction, and now Jonah is what we would call spiritually asleep, and he's in the midst of this storm that the Bible is going to use over and over and over, tempestuous wind. You saw it tonight. We're going to point it out tonight. And here are these men who discover this man who is spiritually asleep and physically asleep, and they awake him, and they're trying to seek the Lord. They are trying to discover and to deal with the problem in the boat. They don't quite know what it is. They just know that this storm is supernatural and that God is dealing with them. And of course, they cast the lots. It falls upon Jonah. And finally, Jonah gives them a commentary of who he is and what he believes. And notice it's interesting in verse 9. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. He literally is saying this. Because here's an interesting thought, that many of the men worship gods, and their gods were limited to places. They would say, well, this god is the god of the valley, or this god is the god of the mountain, or this god is the god of this lake. And so their gods were limited, and Jonah is basically saying to them, I serve the Almighty God, and he has no limits. He's not limited to a mountain or a hill or to an area or to a people or to a tree or to a river. I serve the God that created the sea and the dry land. Everybody with me on this? The great God, the God of all gods, is literally what Jonah is telling them in verse 9. So we come to this place in verse 12, and there's a question, or actually in verse 11. So let me ask you a question. You help me out. Have they discovered the problem, yes or no? Yes. They know the problem. But they don't know how to deal with the problem. By the way, there's a lot of people that are like that. I've got anger issues, but I don't know how to deal with it. I'm hurt. I don't know how to deal with it. I've been forgotten. I don't know how to deal with it. I've gone through a situation. My parents have gotten a divorce, and one moved across the country, and another moved this way. I don't know how to deal with it. I've got a dad that got arrested. I don't know how to deal with it. Here are these men, and they ask a question. Notice the question in verse 11. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought," here's that wording again, "wrought and was tempestuous." Now I want you to understand something that is very powerful, and it is this. God will speak to you through his word. But if you choose not to listen to God in his word, he will speak to you through circumstances. Reminded of even the story of the prodigal son. Do you understand that once he left his father and left the wisdom of his father, that God continued to speak to the prodigal, and they brought in a famine, and then he finally was eating with the hogs. No man gave to him, and he finally heard and came to himself, but God never stopped speaking to him. Here is Jonah, and the Lord is continuing to speak to these men and to deal with their hearts, and they know that this is not just a storm. The consequences here is not because of what is going on in the weather pattern. They understand that what is going on in their life deals and is directed to what is happening inside the boat. So here we find that they desire to deal with this sin. And how do you deal with this sin? Jonah gives them the answer. Notice what he says in verse 12. It's a dramatic, over-the-top answer. I want you to notice this. It's not an easy answer. It's a hard answer. Is everybody with me on this? All right, I feel like it's Tuesday and you're a little tired tonight. How many's tired? All right. Let's just pray. Father, I'm asking you tonight. I know it's been a long day, and I just pray that you would give these young people the strength and the ability to pay attention. I feel like many of them desire to, but would you help them? Would you send your spirit to guide them physically? And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Notice what happens in verse 11. Verse 12. And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the," what? Sea. Whoa. How many think that's radical? That's pretty radical. It's kind of like you coming to a doctor and you're saying, "Hey, I've got a cough," and he says, "Cut your head off." What? "It's just a cough." "I know. Cut your head off and it'll stop." It's a little over the top. How many agree with me? Kind of radical here. So they come to Jonah and they're like, "Jonah, what do we do that this would be calm to us?" And he says, "Here's what you do. You take me up and you cast me into the sea. I know that you've gotten rid of the boots and the rice and the wheat and the candles, but you need to take me up. And I know it's drastic and I know it's radical, but the only way that this is going to be calm in your life is for you to get radical about the problem within your boat. Is everybody with me on this? You got to get radical about it. You got to get serious about it. And this is going to be a pretty big problem in your life. Now, I want you to notice something about Jonah. Jonah here is such a back, and I really don't want to deal with Jonah tonight, but I am going to take just a couple of moments to catch this. I want you to see how far Jonah is in his spiritual condition. Do you understand that he is so backslidden that the storm has shaken all of the sailors, but it's not shaken Jonah? Jonah is still not listening. Jonah still has not prayed. Jonah still has not gotten right. Jonah will do nothing about his sin, and his sin has become their problem, and he won't do anything about their problem. I read this passage, and I'm like, Jonah, if you know the problem is for them to throw you overboard, why don't you just jump? But can I tell you something? I want you to hear me when I say this. When you fall asleep, you become a coward to deal with your own sin. You become a coward. Holy Spirit says, you know, you probably ought to talk to your mom and dad about that problem. And you're like, nope. Probably ought to talk to that teacher about the test you cheated on. Nope. You ought to probably talk about the things that you stole at that. Nope. Cowards don't deal with sin. They don't have the ability to deal with sin. Jonah here, Jonah knows the problem. He also knows the solution, and he's not willing to deal with it. May I say this again? He doesn't have the spiritual strength to deal with it. Because you don't have the spiritual strength to deal with it. That's something we're going to come back around. So I want you to capture in this passage, because this is pretty important, that Jonah does have the answer. The answer is this. You've got to get radical, and you've got to get serious, and you're gonna have to take some serious steps to deal with the problem in the boat. Now, I want you to notice the thinking of these men, all right? Verse 13, are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. All right, verse 13, first word, what is it? Whoa, stop just for a second. Do they know the problem? Do they know the solution? Verse 13, what's the next verse? Nevertheless. All right. I know this is in my life, and I know it keeps me from doing right. Now, I know I need to deal with it. One day I'm going to deal with it. One day I'm going to get serious about it. But right now, I believe in my heart that I can keep going forward with sin in the boat. Here is a group of people that recognize the problem. They recognize the solution. They had done the investigation. The lot fell upon Jonah. Jonah confessed, I'm the guy. Yet with all of that, nevertheless. Now I want you to notice here what happens in your mind. These men believed that they could still go forward with sin and conflict in the boat. Notice what the Bible says in verse 13. I want you to read this line. Nevertheless, the men what? Next two words, what are they? They what? They rowed hard, and then what did they believe they could do? Keep reading. What does it say? They had a conversation. They said this. I know what the problem is. I know what the solution is. But I'm still convinced if I can just get through camp, I can bring this to land. I mean, if I just get determined, all I've got to do, All I've got to do is I've got to get through Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I can bring this to land. All I've got to do is just put some effort into it. I just need to come and say, I know what's right, I know what's wrong, I know what I need to do, but if I tell them about the drinking problem, if I tell them about the pornography problem, if I tell them about this relationship that I have, if I tell them about this device that I've got in my life that they don't even know about, if I start exposing the issues in the boat, man, I'm just telling you, I believe in my heart that we can row to land, that I just need to put some more effort into it. Oh, I just need to come up with better lies. Are you with me? I mean, I've just got to get better at lying and better at deceiving and better at, you know, erasing my history and better at covering my tracks. And if I just row it harder, I can keep living a double life and I can bring this to land. Does everybody hear the thinking? Ah, but Nance, teenagers don't think that way. They think that way all the time. And let me help you with something. It's not just teens that think that way. It's adults that think that way. We come to a service and God deals with our heart. And I mean, he deals with us in such a personal way. It's like he literally puts his thumb print right on my heart. And I know out of 300 people or 400 people, God is talking to me. And I stand there and I argue and I debate and I just say, if I row hard, I can bring this to land. Come on. If I can just get past this service, man, that if I can just get past tonight, if I can just kind of somehow numb myself spiritually, I can bring this to land. I just got to row hard. I want to help you with something. Living with sin in the boat is the most exhaustive life you'll ever have. I want you to notice that word, row hard. Can I tell you, if you want to live that life, it's going to be exhausting. It's a hard life to live. It's what it describes, isn't it? They rowed how? Hard. Wasn't like some breeze came and just picked up the boat and just carried them down. They're like, man, boy, living in sin, this is awesome. No. If I'm going to live with Jonah in the boat, I need to understand that it is a hard life. It's a difficult life. It's a struggle. It's full of pain. It's full of suffering. It's full of guilt. I'm just thinking of a teenager. And I'm not talking about a teenager that was in a wicked home. I'm talking about a teenager that was in a very godly home who confessed to me and said, I am just tired of the guilt that I have in my heart. And singing in the choir and working in this area and working in that area, yet the guilt just eats me up. It's a hard life when you try to live with Jonah in the boat. You deal with sin by not dealing with sin. What are we going to do? Well, it's going to be radical. Nah. Let's row hard. We can bring it to shore. Is everybody with me on their mindset? Yeah. But what you believe and what God does are two different things. Look at the verse. Verse 13. All right, y'all okay if I preach on this? Is this okay?
Yeah.
All right, good. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. Verse, next four words, what are they? They could not. Now, I want you to get this picture. I want you to get this picture. Here they are. Let's do it, boys. One, two. I don't know what the cadence was, but as they're rowing as hard as they can, I can imagine this, that the wind just grabs this boat and shoves it back. And they push harder, and it shoves it back. And they push harder, and it shoves it back. And the Bible makes a declaration, listen to me, that when you and I live with sin in the boat, listen to me, I want you to get this, there will never be progress in your life. You can fake it, you know the old statement, fake it till you make it, let me help you. You can fake it, you'll never make it. I've gone to churches where there's sin in the church. They're faking it and they're not making it. I've been in youth groups, and you know what happens? We get desperate, you know. It's like, well, we got to have some kind of movement in here. And so all of a sudden they, you know, they try to go radical to get somebody to get some kind of movement. But honestly, if you live with sin in the boat, you can try to bring it to land, but you will not make it. There is no progress when there's sin in the boat. Number two, can I also show you this? There's no progress with Jonah in the boat. There's also no peace with Jonah in the boat. For the sea, now I want, there's two words in this verse that I want you to get. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Now we've been beating that word through the scripture. It's been here several times. Is that right? It's like it's, remember we used the word to kind of help us understand. It's got a temper. Everybody remember that? But I want you to notice the last two words of verse 13. What are they? The last two words. Well, say it again. What is it? Against them. There was no progress and there was no peace because the more they rowed, what they did not understand is this. Listen to me. God was not blessing them. God was against them. Is everybody with me on this? I'm going to make my life. No, you're not going to make your life. I'm going to go to Tarshish. You're never going to get there. How do you know I'm not going to get there? Because you're not in the way of God. You're in the wrath of God. And they were not going to have progress, and they were not going to have peace as long as Jonah was in the boat. So what do we do? What do we do? Now I want to just say this. Some of you are living a life, and you're living a life that is draining. I'll never forget. I may have shared this a couple of years ago. I'll never forget. I was at a youth conference, and we were staying in a hotel, and we had a couple of guys. A couple of rooms, and our guys were on one floor, our ladies were on another floor, and I remember after the service coming back, and I had stepped out into the hallway, and as I stepped out into the hallway, I had a 10th grader, his name was Ben. Ben was a short guy, but Ben was the guy that was super charismatic. He was the, if I could say this, he was the class clown. Everybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, he always had a smart statement. He had a funny line. He always had people laughing. Everybody liked to hang around Ben. And I come outside of my room, and I see across the hallway there, so it's just a little hallway, and there's Ben, and he's literally sitting down beside the door outside the room, and there was a counselor in there and three other guys, and he was sitting outside with his hands on his face, and he had his knees propped up like that. I went over to Ben, and I just said, Ben, what's going on, man? I said, what's going on? I knew he was under conviction. I knew what was happening. I knew what was going on in his life. I'll never forget Ben's testimony. Ben was in a broken home, and he kind of made up with his broken family situation by getting people to laugh with him and laugh at him. He was just that type of guy. He was just the life of the party. And he got invited to a lot of things because he was a funny guy. Now, I'll never forget Ben telling me, he went to a public school, and he said, this was his phrase. He said, I'm tired. I said, what's going on, Ben? He goes, I go to these friends' houses, and I go to these parties, and he goes, I know what's right, and I know what's wrong, and he says, they'll bring beer, and he says, this was a story. He says, I'll get a can of beer, and I'll open it up, and he says, I'll act like I'm one of them, and I'll walk around, and I'll hold the can of beer, and then I'll go into the bathroom, and I'll pour some out. And he says, I'll come back out, and I'll act like I'm one of them, and joking and laughing, and I'll go back in the bathroom and I'll pour some more out. And he says, I'll throw an empty can away and I'll get another one, and I'll make sure they all watch me as I live this life, and I pop it, and now I'll act like I'm taking a sip. And he goes, I don't take a sip because I know in my heart it's not right. He says, I go in the bathroom and I pour it out. And he says, then he says, Pastor, you have to act like you're a little drunk. So he said, then I'm thinking, am I drunk enough? Am I acting like them? Am I playing the game? And that's the phrase he kept using. He goes, it's like this game. And he goes, and he looked at me with tears, and he's like, I'm so tired of playing this game. I don't know what your game is, but some of you are rowing hard, and it's an exhausted life. And I'm telling you tonight, listen to me, in your life, there is no peace. And there is no progress. Say, Brother Nance, what do I need to do? I'll tell you what you need to do. The first step is you need to pray. Notice what the Bible says in verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto, next two words, what are they? The Lord. I would encourage you to do this. Would you circle those words, the Lord, and then drop down to verse 5 and notice who they called upon in verse 5. The Bible says, and the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Notice that's a small G-O-D, and notice in verse 14 it's a capital L-O-R-D. And they cried and they beseeched thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Some of you need to come to the altar tonight and you need to turn to the Lord. I want to just say this. Some of you need to turn to the Lord to help you with sin. Some of you need to turn to the Lord to be saved. Some of you have you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're in a backslidden condition. You're the man asleep in the bottom of the boat. But some of you, listen to me, you're here at camp, and the Lord is dealing with your heart, and you're not saved. If you were to die, heaven is not your home. Hell is your eternal future. And you know in your heart, man, I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. And tonight you need to call upon the Lord and ask Him to save you. By faith, you can be saved. By faith, you can become a Christian. By faith, you can turn to Jesus Christ and have the forgiveness of sins that's only found in Jesus Christ. But they cried unto the Lord. Then notice what it says here. They beseech the Lord. They desire to deal with this sin. Then in verse 15, they prayed about it. They sought the Lord. They're asking God. They're not sure how to handle this. This is radical. Verse 15. So they took up Jonah and what? Cast him. Let me see here. Ryan, is it Ryan? Ryan, come here. Ryan, come here. Brandon, come here, just for a second. I want to just say something to you, and I want you to hear me when I say this. Some of you, the reason you've never gotten victory over your sin is because you have never gotten radical about your sin. I've had young people come to me and they're like, Brother Nance, I'm struggling with these, and I'm going to date myself, but I'm struggling with these CDs, and I'm going to put them under my bed, or I'm going to put them in my closet, or what should I do? Can I tell you, you don't need to put them in your closet. You need to get radical about it. You need to get radical. I'll never forget a girl in my church. She is actually working at a church. She went to Heartland, married a guy. But I can tell you, I can literally remember the conversation, and she was in our church ever since she was a little girl. But I can take you to the spot at camp where we had a conversation, and she was starting to date a boy unsaved at McDonald's, and she came from a broken home. And I remember her arguments to me, because she didn't have a spiritual dad, and so I was kind of her spiritual dad, and Miss Amy was kind of her spiritual mom, my wife. And so I'm talking to her about this boy at McDonald's she's liking, and I'm just telling her, this isn't going to work. You're not going to make it work. No matter how hard you row, this is not going to be the will of God for your life. By the way, if I could bring her up here today, she would say, I'm so glad Brother Nance had an honest conversation with me. And I remember just saying this to her when we got on the bus. I said, because she had decided, she'd gone to the altar. She was throwing everything out of the boat. And I remember having this conversation with her. I said, so how are you going to break up with him? And she said, I think I'll take him on a date and break his heart slowly. I said, I'm going to call him. Oh, no, you're not going to. I said, I'm going to call him. I said, either I'm going to call him or you're going to call him, and you're going to stand right here and talk to him in front of me. Bernice, you're just so hard. No, I understood how dangerous Jonah was. Can I tell you that her and another girl met my wife at the dumpster? I mean, she got radical. She ended up going to Bible college, but I can remember her telling my wife, I've got a closet full of clothes that are indecent, immoral, they're not right, and I need to get rid of them. And here's what she said: if we don't rip them up, I will wear them again.
That's right.
And they had a dumpster party at our church. And they literally took scissors and cut all of these clothes, and we had a stack of CDs that we smashed. And we didn't throw them in there, because she was just so honest. She's like, I'm afraid this music has such a hold on me. This is what she said. If we throw them in the dumpster, I'm afraid I'm going to come back in 2 days and dig them out of the dumpster. You're like, nah, people wouldn't do that.
Yes, they would.
Come on. People wouldn't do that. Would they? Yes or no? You need to get radical about the sin in your life.
Amen.
Stop overlooking the bitterness. Stop justifying why you're angry. Stop justifying why you have a stinking attitude. And somewhere in your life, you need to get radical about this. Now, I want to give you this picture, and then I'm going to wrap it up. All right. Ryan, right? All right. It's not Ryan anymore. It's Jonah. Who's this guy?
Jonah.
Jonah. How many think Jonah wore a pink shirt? Just playing with you. All right. Brandon, you're a mariner. You rowed hard. You exhausted?
Yes.
Tired?
Oh, yeah.
Storm hasn't stopped, by the way.
Right. Yep.
Storm hasn't stopped. Making any progress? Think he's exhausted? What's the answer, Brandon? What's the answer? What's the answer? What's the problem? What's the solution? Okay. Do it. No, wait. I want you to get this, and I appreciate his energy. He's been waiting to do that. I appreciate his energy, because that's the energy you need to have. Some of you got a computer in your room. You should not have a computer in your room. Some of you got a device in your life, and you don't need a device in your life.
Right.
Well, I'll be good
for
2 days. And you've been on this merry-go-round where you've rode hard.
Yep.
You haven't gotten radical about it. And you're not going to have any progress, and you're not going to have any peace until you do get radical about it.
Amen.
Is everybody with me on this?
Amen.
Here's what I want you to get. Brandon's about to get it. I don't want you to just push him. I need you to throw him over. I need you to pick him up. I need you to pick him up over the railing. I need you to get him as high as you can. And I need you to chunk him. What? Oh, come on. I need you to do that. Wait. No, stop. Stop. I he just said what we all needed to hear. What did you say to me? Say it one more time.
I can't.
He can't. He can't. See, some of you have been trying to handle this in your own strength. It's bigger than you. Stronger than you. Don't you understand? Listen to me. There was not one mariner that threw over Jonah. They cried unto the Lord. God, we're seeking you. They enlisted help. Are you with me? Can I tell you, some of you, the reason you've never had victory in your life is you have never enlisted help. You've never gotten help. You have lied to yourself that you can somehow manhandle Jonah by yourself. And he's still in the boat.
Yep.
And there's still no progress, and there's still no peace.
Yeah. Amen.
Everybody with me on this?
Amen.
The moment he's out of the boat, read the verse. What does it say? It was miraculous.
Right.
What happened? What happened to the storm?
Ceased.
What?
Ceased.
Somewhere you got to come to a place in your life that you say, God, I'm serious about getting it out of the boat. I'm radical about getting it out of the boat. But I can't do it.
Amen.
I need a youth pastor to come up beside me. I need a pastor to come up beside me. I need some family members to come up beside me. I need somebody to check on me. I need somebody to grab one arm and somebody to grab one leg. And it's going to take a team effort to get this over the side because it's too big for me to handle.
Yes.
But I'm also too embarrassed to enlist help. Everybody with me? Be seated. There is peace in your life that waits for you and progress that God has for you, but you'll never experience it until you get radical about your sin. Now I don't know what your Jonah looks like. It might be a friend, it might be a relationship. I had a girl in my church one time. She was programming her house, stealing her dad's car in the middle of the night, driving 2.5 hours to Apollo Beach to meet up with some boy she had met online in Facebook. Nobody knew for a good while. But I'm going to tell you, that's an exhausting life. Especially when she put a dent in her dad's car.
Yeah.
And was trying to lie about it. Now, I'm just telling you that the way of a transgressor is hard. So here's the thing tonight. The thing tonight is this. Hopefully you've discovered by now what it is. It's Jonah. And now you know what to do with it. I'll use Brother Brandon's. It's got to go out. But some of you have been playing games for years. You've not gotten help. And the Bible says this, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy.
Yes.
And I'm gonna tell you something radical you ought to do tonight. Some of you, I'm gonna encourage you. I'm gonna encourage you to go to a youth pastor, a pastor's wife, a youth worker's wife tonight. And if you've got a Jonah, I'm going to ask you to get help. I'm going to ask you to get help. Because it's too big for you to throw overboard. And next year at camp, you'll come back to camp, and Jonah will still be on board. And some of you know I'm telling the truth. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would work in our hearts. I pray that you would help us to understand the truth. I pray, God, that you would open our eyes to how to deal with sin in the boat.